This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Get to know the PTBN, PWO, Voices of Wrestling, VOW edition, back. Been a while since we had, I guess I should double check that, but of course I'm joined by Adrian De La Torre from this podcast and other podcasts and I guess movies and television as well.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian, how are you doing tonight?
Good, Tim. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm phenomenal. And our guest tonight is... Andy, I don't know if you go by more than just Andy.
On Twitter, just Andy, but I introduce myself as Andy Labar on my podcast. So
okay, Andy Labar, and you do some writing for Voices of Wrestling, correct?
Yep, some reviews here and there, and I wrote a couple of features earlier in the year.
Okay, so saying this is Voices of Wrestling edition isn't too far off, but you're also the host of Fight Network Friends.
Fighting Network Friends.
I'm sorry, and I do that every time.
That's okay.
Whenever I talk about the show, I forget that it's Fighting Network Friends, which is an interesting name for a podcast. But we're talking about interesting names. Adrian was going on a little bit of a diatribe because anyone who's been on the podcast before knows that when you're talking to Adrian on Skype, it says Bob Henderson
Instead
of Adrian De La Torre. Adrian, why does it say Bob Henderson?
So a long time ago, longer now than it seems, I worked for a cab company in Phoenix, and we had this guy who would call in all the time. I think he had, I don't know, whatever the old man disease is where you, like, forget things and then you just repeat yourself a lot. I don't know if there's a name for that. I don't know if it's not dementia. No, I don't know if that's right. Somebody will have to fact check me.
People call it dementia. It's, people say it's...
Alzheimer's? Yeah.
There's also just like you get old and you don't give a fuck anymore, so you don't care to remember stupid shit.
Well, this guy would call in and he'd be like, oh, hello, my name is Bob Henderson. I'd like a cab, please. You know, and at first, you know, I would just, you know, put it in for him and then he'd get a cab. And then, like, the cab driver would show up to his house and there would be no Bob Henderson to be found. And over time, we started realizing this is a pattern. And eventually, like, somebody got through to his daughter and told us, like, yeah, like, this is my dad, and he's got, like, whatever, dementia or something. So, like, when he calls you guys to ask for a cab, like, don't actually send it to him because he's not going to actually take a cab. And I adopted the name for some reason. I just kind of use it as a sort of an internet alias for the last, I don't know, 10 years. Well, longer than that, actually, because I worked for that cab company back in 2005, if you believe it.
I don't believe it.
So that's
not even for a second.
That's the exciting story about where my Bob Henderson
handle
comes from. I know.
Now,
set the tone for this show.
Back to interesting names. Andy, this is your chance to not disappoint. What is the background for Fighting Network Friends? Why did you guys name your podcast like that?
Well, it's named after the Rings promotion, which is its full name, the Ring Shoot Style promotion from Akira Maeda. And it's... that full name is Fighting Network Rings, is done. So it was just kind of a play on that because myself and my co-host Brennan from Burning Spirits and Voices of Wrestling, we're best friends in real life. So I thought it was a fun play and actually was kind of given to us from another Twitter user who we referenced before, who has kind of brought some of the Rings footage to light in the last year.
Okay, and I should have remembered that, but because I'm an idiot. I didn't even think about it, especially because you guys even talk about Rings on the show.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, most people just call it Rings. So, but yeah, its full name.
So, would you say you said it's a play on words?
On just the since our podcast is called Fighting Network Friends, it's a play on. Well, it's not, I guess it's just Fighting Network Rings is the name of a wrestling promotion, and it was and. So we're just copying it that way.
Yeah, so
yeah, that is a play on words.
Based
yeah.
on this, on the guests we've had in the past, it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong here, that wrestling lends itself to like a lot of puns and play on words. Like, it seems like
that's
it's very pun friendly though. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
I mean, look, what about beer? Every fucking beer is some stupid pun name.
That's true.
So I mean, yeah, it's just everything, dude.
Yeah. No, I like it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, though.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, it's not just wrestling. It's, like, everything is that way.
Gotcha.
Andy.
Yes.
Are you now, or have you ever been, a member of the PWO board?
I am on the PWO board. I probably have 5 or 6 posts total.
Okay.
So, and that's over the course of maybe 2 or 3 years as well. Gotcha. And I think my username is Oh Hey Look, although I might have changed it to Trilly Robinson, which is my Twitter handle, but it's been a while since I posted. So,
gotcha.
But yeah, I am a member. I'm a longtime lurker and a listener of the podcast, though. So that's kind of my connection to the people of the PWO boards.
So how did you get hooked up with Voices of Wrestling then? Or like, what's your history of doing wrestling on the internet?
Yeah, good question. Mostly, honestly, through Brennan, which is my buddy Brennan Patrick, who him and I just kind of, we both lived in Portland. We watched wrestling together. And he's a writer not by occupation, but by hobby. He writes on the side, both fiction, nonfiction, and started writing some wrestling articles a few years ago, and just submitted some to Voices of Wrestling, and they accepted them. And then him and I kind of pitched some ideas, and we just kind of got linked up that way. So he kind of got me in, which is funny because I introduced him to some of those communities, like PWO, and or at least like Voices of Wrestling, and talked about PWO and some of the podcasts and stuff. So I kind of showed him, and then he was more proactive than I was, and he kind of got me in.
Yeah, he shot out ahead of you now, huh? He's a big dog on campus. No, I have to admit this, and it's not like a dig or anything. It's just the way I am. I like don't really follow the Voices of Wrestling writing very much.
Yeah.
So like I don't see the website, so I don't know if he posts a lot of articles written or not.
He did when he first started. And you know, we did a big thing earlier this year that was we did a like 5-piece article or 4-piece article, part article that was the top 40 Japanese wrestlers over 40, and then we did like a top 10 Japanese wrestlers over 50 list, and that was that was my first article for the site. A thing we did back and forth, and yeah, he hasn't written for them much recently. Every now and then he'll make an appearance, but mostly just on the podcast, and he kind of writes for his own blog now.
Got it. Okay, and so you haven't been, I guess you haven't been following wrestling too closely for very long, correct?
Yeah, I mean, dipping in and out for my whole life, but really, really in the weeds since about the end of 2014.
Okay, so I mean, God, I have YouTube clips that are on my to be watched lists that have been around longer than you, kid. No, which is actually true and super sad. Honestly. Yeah.
How long have you been on YouTube, Tim? Just curious.
How long have I been on YouTube?
Yeah, like how long have you had an account? It tells you.
Oh God, I don't know. I guess I would have to go to my first one and check, which is old as fuck, and I probably don't even know the login. The current one that I have is like I made it only. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to admit this one on the podcast. I made it only so that I could share YouTube login with people on Wrestling with Words, and so it wouldn't link to my real Gmail account. So that one's like moderately new. And now they're getting rid of paid YouTube channels, so fuck everybody. I can admit that we've been pirating for years. No,
wow.
I was beyond wrestling. I was just sharing that account with people. I'm sorry, Drew, but I think it worked out for him in the end, anyways. So yeah, I got that. So that one's like moderately new, like 2 or 3 years. But now let me think. Like my that's the thing is that YouTube switched over to being linked to Google, right?
So... Yeah, but it should still tell you because mine says I joined in May of 2006.
Right, but that would only be the one for me that's linked to my Google account. It wouldn't be the original first one that I ever made.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is the cheat, T E H, cheat from Strong Bad. So that should also show you how long or how old it was that I was able to, not only was it the cheat like from Strong Bad or from Homestar Runner, but also that I was able to get the name that is just the cheat, like, and no one else had it yet. This is like a pain in the ass to try to find though.
Well, it's okay. I thought maybe you just knew offhand. You don't have to.
Nah, I don't know.
Do detective work to figure it out.
It was like when I was in middle school. So, you know,
oh, before shit.
2004.
I don't think YouTube's that old.
I think YouTube has existed for a pretty long time.
I think it started in 2005.
Oh, okay. 05. Well, then it would have been like 2006.
I'm sure there was some video sharing website that was very archaic by today's standards. It was long, you know, around long before YouTube was. Because I remember seeing viral videos like way before, like when I was in high school, even. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
they were usually like independently hosted and whatnot.
I remember seeing the Numa Numa guy posted on, shared on my MySpace page back in the day. So
yeah.
That's how far back that goes. And I was already old by then, so.
Whatever happened to the Numa Numa guy?
He made a second video that wasn't as good because it was so like big. Oh, I don't know, how do you explain it? It was like more produced, you know, like the production quality. And it just, it wasn't the same. It wasn't like the first one, just, you know, I had this sort of, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know what happened to him after that. That was like 10 years ago. So who knows?
I hit a point probably like, I'd say like 45 to 60 seconds ago, where in my head I realized, why the fuck am I letting Adrian talk about this stuff right now when we're supposed to be interviewing someone?
Sorry.
And then I continued to let it go for a little bit just because I was like, I was at the point where I thought it was funny because of how absurd it was. But I just wanted to point that out from everyone, that I did realize that we're talking about how old my YouTube account is.
Really nice. I was thinking the same thing. Why you hadn't stopped me by then? But here we are.
Line up too, and I have no idea. So.
Yeah, I'm not able to find it. But you know what? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. None of this matters. Yeah.
We've all been on YouTube forever.
Yeah, it's true.
So let's see. What brought you back? I mean, 2014 was not like a great year for wrestling.
Yeah.
Why did you stop paying attention, and then what brought you back? Let's do that.
I think my story of not paying attention stems from a few things. I mean, I really stopped watching. I wasn't ever following like modern Japanese wrestling. So even in the 90s and then early 2000s, I was watching old Japanese wrestling, and then like WWF and or WWE and WCW. I never followed TNA or anything like that. Never followed Indie American Indies when they had their boom. So I just kind of left when WWE got boring, which was, you know, to me, I guess I don't remember Brock Lesnar's like ascendance, his first like ascendance in like the 2003 or earlier, whenever that was. And yeah, but I know I was watching at that time because I was watching in high school, which was 2000, 2004.
Okay.
But I at some point I guess I just stopped watching actively, but I would follow it. Like I followed it between that time and until I started watching again in 2014. But I wasn't watching as much as just following it online and things like that and reading results and being like, oh, I can't believe they're not doing this or they're not doing this, not having any idea what the context of it was. So and then we kind of came back to it in 2014. I moved back to Portland, Oregon. And before that, I had lived in a lot of different places where I didn't really have access to reliable internet or cable TV or anything like that. So it was hard to keep up with it. And I didn't have money to buy DVDs or anything like that, so I wasn't much of a tape trader. But when I came back to Portland, Oregon, it was a lot easier. And then having a friend like Brennan and a couple other friends at the time who were into it, like in real life friends, made it pretty easy to get back into it. We actually just had a Royal Rumble party, I think, and that's the one that Batista won. And that was kind of my first big event back, and we watched it with a big group of friends, and that's where Brennan and I actually met and then became friends after that. And yeah, so after that we're just like, you know, we'll follow this. And then he got me into some Japanese stuff, I got him into some other things, and beyond that just joined all the internet communities that I was lurking at, I guess, or kind of discovered.
So you had mentioned that you were kind of into Japanese wrestling even early on, correct?
Yeah, really. I mean, minimally, but viewing more of an appreciation of it's kind of like the aesthetic of it rather than knowing what's actually happening. Yeah.
Okay, because I just find it interesting that you then kind of checked out because WWE was boring. And I guess it didn't really affect it, but it seems like it was pretty close to the time. This show does, when we talk to people about their history, has like a pretty
pretty interesting kind of mixture of people's reactions, because a lot of people seemed around that time got out of wrestling and it had to do with Benoit in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also had Brock, who was kind of the outlier, who got into wrestling in a weird roundabout way because of Benoit, which is a really interesting story. But I'm not going to spoil that here. So if you want to hear it, you have to go back and listen to that interview. It's Brock Yankee. He was on the show a few months back. But so that wasn't at all related to why you stopped paying attention.
No. I was still kind of halfway watching when that incident happened. I mean, I think I had an apartment where I went to college and was watching TV kind of the week before that happened even. And so that was a shock to the system, but it wasn't. It's not why I stopped. I was kind of already checked out for the most part while that was happening.
Okay.
Or before that happened. I don't really have any reason, and again, it's not even something. I know you hear people on various podcasts like, well, I wanted to be into girls, or I wanted to be into going places or doing other things or whatever, and it's like that's all part of it, but wrestling to me was never something that I mean, as it is right now, it consumes my life way more than it ever did when I was a fan as a kid or in my early 20s. So it wasn't that. It was just I just kind of walked away for the most part.
You walked away and into your pit of anger, and then hearing Batista's music play at the end of the Royal Rumble is what hooked you back.
It was definitely the Batista era that I like left during. That's why it's funny that the first big event was when when Batista won it back. So I feel like that I kind of left right when Evolution formed.
You missed all the premium Batista.
I've gone back and watched it, but.
Thank God.
Yeah, definitely. Like when Batista and Evolution kind of formed was basically when I stopped watching. That's when I thought Randy Orton was really great and funny.
That was that good stuff, man. Evolution.
Yeah.
Real cream of the crop time for wrestling. So you go to a Royal Rumble party, which is interesting, in 2014. I think I actually went to a party for that Royal Rumble as well, even though I say, like, why would there be a party going on for Royal Rumble in 2014? It's like I was at one, so there was. I think that was a time when a lot of people were kind of swirling around. I think a lot of people were getting kind of back into being interested in wrestling. And then everyone seemed to splinter off. Because I don't know about you, but from that party of people, I think like a good amount of them stopped paying attention. A good amount of them got into like New Japan, NXT. They don't care about WWE anymore. You know what I mean? So would you say that that was pretty similar? Do you think a lot of those people kind of branched off into other stuff and they're not focusing on WWE as much after that, or would you say most of those people, you could still go to a Royal Rumble party this year with them, or next year, I guess?
No, we haven't had any get-togethers in quite a while, and I've tried a few times in the past year or so, or a couple of years, of throwing Royal Rumble or WrestleMania parties for some of those people who came, and I think it was just no one cares anymore. It wasn't, they're always kind of disappointing. You know, I think if you're a diehard wrestling fan, you're prepared to be disappointed with certain things. But if you don't really care and you're disappointed, it's like, oh, well, why should I bother watching? And I guess I should say also, now that I think about it, I was watching a few months leading into that Royal Rumble, because I do remember that the whole story of Daniel Bryan being the one that people wanted to win that Royal Rumble, and then he wasn't in it, right? Is that correct? Or
yeah, that sounds right.
Or something. Yeah, so I remember kind of, I guess, the few months leading up to that, where he's kind of feuding with the Wyatts and CM Punk's feuding with the Shield or things, something like that. So, but the Royal Rumble's when I was like, okay, you know, fuck this, Batista winning. I'm going to watch more modern Japanese stuff. So that's when I discovered all the stuff online and PWO and everything else.
Right, and then so then what what sent you down the path for the shoot style? Because me and you had a conversation offline on Twitter a little while back, and I mentioned to you that like the show that you're doing now is kind of a show that I had thought about doing a while back. So what kind of put you down that path? Had you, I mean, I've listened to the show. It sounds like you're kind of just a lot of this stuff you're seeing for the first time. So I'm gonna assume you don't have like a super depth, like breadths of knowledge for shoot style wrestling in general. What put you down this path?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's, I love explaining that to people, especially on Twitter, because they'll ask me, for the first few episodes, people were asking me questions like, I I can't answer those. And Brennan might have a better opportunity at answering those, but he's not an expert in the style either. And so I think we're just both kind of wanting to discover some new old stuff, myself more than him, and just kind of talk about it there. It's a style that I really like, and then the little bit that I've seen, I really gravitated towards. And I think I don't really like most MMA. I haven't seen a whole ton of it, but I guess when I watch it, and I'll admit that it's primarily UFC, it doesn't really do anything for me. But the idea of kind of more combat-based wrestling, I really like the brutal kind of stiffer stuff in Japan. You know, that just lends itself to me liking a lot of shoot style, old shoot style promotions. And so it's been fun to discover and kind of, just go down the path of learning this stuff. I view wrestling more of a historical perspective. Even from like podcasts that I listen to, I really like the PWO podcasts or like old school wrestling podcasts, where they just kind of delve into stuff of the past. That's more interesting to me than, and no offense to you, cause I know you do This Week in Wrestling and whatnot, but, it's more interesting to me to look at stuff that I've missed in my life than the stuff that I can readily, you know, look at a news site and see.
Right. You know, I get you. I understand completely. Cause I mean, when I got into just listening to podcasts on PWO, my show didn't exist. You know what I mean? The show that I'm on didn't exist. So, obviously that's what the website is about, is that retro stuff. That's what people like. I totally get why people like it. I think that what we do is, honestly, with me and Pete, we do a pretty good service essentially for the people who are listening to those podcasts, not like the retro podcasts, not because they like going back to stuff they didn't see, but more for the nostalgia side of it, for stuff that they have watched and maybe are checked out on the indie stuff. And that's what I think, that's really what our service is. On that podcast, is that we do a show that really talks to those old school kind of fans to let them know, like, hey, this is modern, this is new, and you actually might like it, because it doesn't, you know, it's not just a bunch of high spots bullshit. It's actually got some wrestling going on. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of more what we're focused towards. It's like, oh, this is more like old school, like CWF, obviously. Sing the praises for that. We get a lot of people who were not into a lot of modern wrestling, definitely not modern indie wrestling, that tell us that now they're watching CWF because of the way that we talk about it. So that's kind of more what the show is for. Cause I totally understand, like, our network is a niche for people who are into retro stuff. Meanwhile, Voices of Wrestling is really obviously a lot more about, modern stuff. I mean, I don't think that they do a single retro show on the podcast network, actually.
No, they don't. They don't currently,
Which might lead into like kind of a question that I was going to ask, is like, what's the deal with Fighting Network Friends not being on the VOW feed? You know, I mean, you guys are both so connected, but it probably just has to do with that retro thing. I mean, hey, you know, this podcast has broken a lot of news before about, podcasts joining the PWO network. So if you want to spill the beans, you can't. But no, like, has there been conversations about joining Voices of Wrestling? Is it just that you guys just kind of don't fit what's already on the network, or what do you think?
We've been approached by VOW and Rich. We've been approached by other networks as well, and I really appreciate that. I'm just kind of I'm an independent guy, I guess. It's not that a network takes you. Especially a pro wrestling podcast network takes liberties away from what you're doing. But I don't know why. We have a very select number of listeners, and I don't imagine just because it's us joining a network will, even though it'll bump up the downloads because people add it to their feed, will already get it automatically in their feed. It doesn't really, to me, bump up the number of listeners that we're going to get. And I just kind of, I appreciate when people like you or people like Chad online or the Voices of Wrestling folks, when they shout us out, and a Virtual Pro shouted us out a few weeks ago in a controversial episode they did, which was interesting. They said that they really liked our show. But, you know, I appreciate that, considering we only have 5 episodes and this is my first podcast. But I don't find a need really to join a network currently. Maybe down the road we will, whether that's Voices of Wrestling or PWO or some kind of other network, but right now I'm just doing my thing.
Gotcha. Adrian,
I'm the Asami Kodaka of
of wrestling. Nice, nice. Adrian, do you have any questions that you want to hit on?
Not so far, but I will always think of something. Don't worry about that.
Okay, okay. Well,
And Timothy, I wanted to say I do listen to This Week in Wrestling, not every week, but especially when you have promotions on that are new or things that I'm interested in. I do, and Pete's one of the more influential guys to get me into retro wrestling over the years. So I love that you guys do this show on modern stuff because you have two opinions that I really respect. So it is a great show.
Oh yeah, thank you. You don't need to do that. Like I totally get
it. I think what you said was true. Like you do a service. You guys basically got me to sign up for Powerbomb TV. And so I'm watching some of the modern things that are being put out on there. I'm not going back and watching the 2006 indies from St. Louis or wherever they're at necessarily.
No, but no. You got to get 2003 IWA, Ted Petty Cup, bro. Like that's good stuff.
Someday I will, but like I know that things like the Black Label Pro Show, which you guys were kind of mixed on, was still a fun watch while I was down in Dallas and a couple weekends ago, and just little things like that. So
yeah, no, and that, you know what, that show, like, this is another thing that we talk about. A lot of these shows are getting tighter. When I talk about 2003 to 2006 IWA, those shows, like, get, from what I've heard, Live in the Building were like 6 to 8 hours at times, and then the DVD edits are like 4 hours long. So the modern indies though are doing a really good job of keeping the shows tight. Even PWG, that used to really run these marathon shows, seems to have learned that they need to kind of cut them down a little bit. So yeah, that Black Label Pro Show was nice and goes by quick. There's this pretty good narrative throughout. I think that they dropped the ball a little. Why am I reviewing this show again? I already reviewed it on this.
I told Brennan that he should, I might have him watch the Riddle Lawler match for Fighting Network Friends. It's kind of like he doesn't have any idea of these about the former MMA guys who are doing pro wrestling. So I said, that was kind of a fun little match. So
right, I would, I would actually, okay, so this is, again, we're getting into this. I would actually say that if you want to watch a really good Tom Lawler match that infuses kind of the MMA stuff, it's actually the Beyond Wrestling match with Bobby Fish.
I've heard about that one,
It's much better for, like, mixer of like, jiu-jitsu MMA stuff. Because Bobby Fish is an amateur. He's done amateur MMA fights, but nothing professional. And then the Kyle O'Reilly match that's also from that's actually from Division Pro Wrestling in Florida. But it's not as good as the Fish one, but I still would say it's better than the Riddle match. I think they're doing a Riddle match again in MLW, and that's probably going to be pretty good too. That Riddle match on Black Label Pro I thought was really good, but I think Lawler was playing pro wrestler there. He's really turned up the pro wrestling for his past few matches, but the match with O'Reilly and Fish were some of his first pro wrestling matches back on the indies, and he was a lot more kind of MMA shoot style in the match. So if you're going to do something for the Fighting Network Friends, I would recommend those.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah, I'll put it down.
Yeah, but still the Riddle match is good too, and you've already seen it. So, okay. I was going to ask you some question, and then I went on a diatribe talking about wrestling. That's normal. That's how this show works.
Good. Yeah.
I guess before we go, I was going to go to break, but I guess I have a question I'm going to ask you. It's from a friend of the show, former guest, Big Boss Man, Campbell Soup, as he's known on the Pro Wrestling Only board, Chad, who, you know what I was looking, so this is another kind of weird diet trip. I was looking at Chad's Facebook and like, he's got his kids and stuff. It's so cute. I'm just like, so into like, he's a family man. It's adorable that he's got the whole family thing going on. But he wanted me to ask you, and I think you kind of hit on it earlier when you talked about just how much time wrestling takes up in your life now compared to everything. But with you being a, I guess, somewhat recent wrestling kind of hardcore fan, where do you put it on the level of like importance in your pantheon of interests? Because I know we've brushed up on the topic. We'll get into it later. You're kind of a beer guy. You seem to definitely be into really cool music because you're always playing really good tracks on the podcast. Like, where does wrestling come down on you? Is it taking up most of your time, some of your time, the least amount of your time? Where is it on the scale for you?
Yeah, the things that I spend the most time with are work and my relationship with my girlfriend and kind of just like us hanging out, doing whatever, whether that's going to restaurants or just doing, you know, a couple things. Wrestling is, I would say wrestling is my main hobby. And it has been since I really started getting back into it. It's less than it was like in 2015, 2016. I mean, I was watching literally like everything that was being put out, you know, from the Real Hero people, from More at Anything, like complete shows, every match. I have spreadsheets that are, you know, 1,000 matches long and things like that. And not only that, I'm watching Lucha TV. I'm watching whatever, you know, I'm watching whatever's on Lucha Blog, and modern American stuff. And it just got to be too much. And I don't know how I had the time for it because I was still kind of in the same job and in the same relationship. But, you know, wrestling is still something that I do like to spend a lot of my free time doing. I try and get into other hobbies. I try to read more. I try to some modern video games and things like that. And I just get bored of them too quick. And then I usually go back to wrestling. So as far as like hobbies, that's definitely the main one. I drink a lot less beer than I used to. I think we'll go into that. But yeah, I do like follow, I live in Portland, Oregon, so I follow the modern beer scene, but I'm not a huge beer head compared to what I used to be as well.
Okay. You're not a haze bro?
I am, and we can talk about that, but okay. I just drink quite a bit less than I used to, since I moved back to Portland.
Well, then, I mean, if you're buying like, you know, these 4-pack releases from Hair of the Dog and you're only drinking two of them, maybe we could work out some kind of trade here, buddy.
Yeah, I've been in trades before.
All right. So yeah, I guess Adrian, unless you had another follow-up question or any follow-up question, I guess, we'll take a quick break here. Then we'll come back and get into some other madness, I guess.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
And we are back. And I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do? Because we've already kind of warmed it up. I'm going to come in hot and I'm going to ask you, I've got my intel. I like to do my background, background research before I start these podcasts. And I've got one big heat sinking question that I have to ask, which is, Andy, what's the story about strip karaoke?
Oh boy. I want to know who you asked about that. Maybe Drew or someone. I don't know. I was talking about it on the VOW Slack a couple days ago.
All right.
Portland is known for a lot of things. Obviously, we have a show that is quite the satire. One thing that Portland also has a lot of is strip clubs. I believe we have like the most strip clubs per capita in the United States.
Yes, I've heard this before.
Why is that?
It doesn't feel overwhelming, but it's definitely you start to notice they're kind of everywhere, and that's great for the people that work in the industry, whatever. As someone of little means, meaning of money, I don't go to the strip clubs, but there's one strip club in particular that I've been to in Portland. In the last handful of years. That I find very fun, and they do a promotion on Thursdays and Sundays called Stripperoki, which is when you, as the patron, and the bar is actually really cool. The club is actually really cool because it's usually about 50-50, male, female, and whoever else. And you, as the patron, can sign up on their karaoke list free of charge, obviously tip the DJ, tip the strippers, but you can go and sing on stage while people strip around you. You're just kind of part of the show. You don't have to do anything but go up there and sing. And I haven't been for a number of years, but it's something that when I have friends who are like, hey, tell me about Portland strip clubs, I'm like, that's the only one I can recommend confidently. That's the only one I've experienced with. And it is kind of a thing and kind of breaks down the wall of, you know, a little bit of the awkwardness that people would have in the club. And it's a fun experience. I've only performed once, and this was almost probably 5 years ago now. So this wasn't actually when I lived in Portland, but this is, I was just home for like a holiday with friends or something. And I performed Purple Rain there by Prince, and which is one of my favorite karaoke songs. And I do love karaoke. But you know, as I had done that, I realized that Purple Rain has like a 2 minute guitar solo. So I just kind of stood on stage awkwardly.
Now, hold on. So when you say you performed, what did you perform exactly? Like, what did you do?
Just you know, it's like a karaoke. It's like going to a karaoke bar. So they have the words on a screen that you're you're on stage. There's two strippers on stage with you, and they strip on the stage, and they may occasionally acknowledge you and may not. my point being, when I have a 2 minute guitar solo, they're going to acknowledge you because you're standing up there awkwardly. But people are just kind of cheering you on. They're cheering on the strippers. And yeah, it's you know, you're just singing the words, and people are, you know, doing whatever. You don't get money as a singer, obviously.
I was thinking for a second, maybe you went on the pole for a bit.
No. I mean, you have guys. I was too shy. I'm not that shy of a person, but at that point, I was like, okay, this is a new experience. So there are definitely performers, men and women who get really into it, and they'll attempt to. But I think there's like a pretty strict policy about you're not the one dancing, you're the one singing. You know, the dancers are the dancers.
I don't want to take away from the real stars.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So that was me. The best performance I've ever seen there, and I've only been there twice before. There was this older, probably like in his 60s, older Asian man. And it's a pretty hipster crowd, at least during those nights, back when I went, at least. And this older Asian man saying, "We didn't start the fire," by Billy Joel, which was like, I posted this in the Voices of Wrestling Slack channel, and they said, "How do you dance to that song?" And I don't really have an answer, but they did. So it was an interesting experience.
They are very talented.
Yes.
So now let's get in. Okay. So now let's get into the morality of sex work. Okay. So how do you feel? So you said you only performed once, you've been there twice, but are you a karaoke person? Do you do karaoke semi-regularly?
I don't say semi-regularly. A lot of my friends, there's a couple of karaoke bars where you can like rent a room and they have fancy drinks and stuff, and we'll do that for like parties, but that's super expensive. Good buddy of mine, actually a buddy that connected me and Brennan in a way, him and I used to go to dive bars kind of in the suburbs and do karaoke, and we've only done that once in the past year, and that's a lot of fun, but it's something I like to do, but I don't do it as much as I want to, and it's just kind of a fun time.
Okay, well now I want to know in what way he connected you, because for me, I'm thinking about like subatomic particles and kind of... like the existentialism, that like the idea that all humans are connected in every way through each other, and every atom in your body is built in the furnace of the sun. So in what way did he connect you?
It's much more internet than that. No, we were all members of a non-wrestling related message board, online message board. My buddy's the one that hosted the Royal Rumble party there. And I was friends with him at the time, but we have kind of like a Portland, Oregon thread. He said, "Hey, I'm having a Royal Rumble party. If you're in Portland, you know, DM me or whatever." And then I guess that's why Brennan had just moved there like the month or two prior. And so he came to the party. So that was where him and a bunch of other people from that message board, kind of, we all met and hung out for a time.
Okay. So you say you're a semi-novice karaokeman. And you've done the private room karaoke, which is definitely, that's a thing out here that's pretty popular, especially, and this is going to sound like slightly racist, but because there's like big Asian communities and really popular in Japan. So they do that here. But you learned your lesson from Purple Rain. Do you have go-to rippers? Do you have go-to karaoke song if you're at a bar? Let's say, I don't know, I was going to say someone other than your girlfriend, but let's just say your girlfriend. Let's say that she's had a couple drinks and she's pushing and pressuring. She's saying, "Come on, just do it." What's your go-to? Do you have a go-to?
I don't have one now. I like to switch it up a lot. My go-to for a couple of years, and I've done this one on stage a few times, is Rock Lobster.
Ooh. Oh God.
So I can do their voices pretty good. And yeah, that was one of them. Don't You Want Me by the Human League's another one that I like.
Nice.
Common People, Pulp, a few things like that. The most recent time I went, this was with my buddy. I said we went to the suburbs. This was a couple months ago, and and there were some inebriated women there, and it was like a small crowd of us, and they really, one of them really wanted to do Regulate, you know, Warren G and Nate Dogg, but she didn't want to do the Nate Dogg part. She wanted to rap, which I was like, oh god, this is gonna be so embarrassing. And she asked me to do it, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna be embarrassed here, but it turned out to be really good. So that was one that was pretty funny. I don't typically like to do hip hop, even though I listen to a lot of it. I don't like to perform it because I'll run out of breath.
You ever done any Dire Straits, any Duran Duran?
Yeah, definitely Dire Straits. Yeah, dude. Walk of Life is
that. Oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
Nice.
Did you see the meme for that really quick? Did you see the meme where people were taking Walk of Life and adding it to the end of different movies and how it works?
Movies, yeah. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things, and I love to tell people about that because, I mean, the sinking of the Titanic's happening. Yeah. Walk of Life starts, or the end of Matrix when Neo flies off into the sky and celebrates his machine.
The end of The Shining is my personal favorite. It makes the most sense, too, because it's like such a slow dolly zoom into the picture, and the way the song builds up and stuff, it's perfect. It's perfect for that ending. Nice. But anyway.
Yeah, Dire Straits is a band I really enjoy. So I definitely, and I can, it's pretty easy to kind of do the Mark Knopfler voice because he doesn't sing very much. I mean, he's kind of a talking sing type of thing. So you don't feel too bad trying it.
Gotcha. I have a random wrestling related question for both of you guys. Okay. You guys ever watch The Water Boy?
But okay, Adrian, fine. Just throw the format out the window. That's cool.
Really quick. You guys ever watch Water Boy with Adam Sandler?
Not for many years.
I mean, yeah, I saw it when it came out.
Because there's like a scene where he calls into this like show, and there's like this wrestler dude that he's a fan of, and I was just trying to figure out if you guys knew if that guy was an actual wrestler. What's that?
Big Show.
Yeah.
Captain Insano.
Is he a real wrestler, or is he just an...
Yeah, he's the world's largest athlete, kind of.
What's his name, Mr. Insano?
His name on the movie was Captain Insano,
uh-huh.
But they call him in wrestling the Big Show. His real name is Paul White, and he's also been called the Giant before.
I find it interesting that in movies and shows when they depict wrestlers, like they'll have like an actual wrestler play the part, just not as his, you know, real life wrestler character, like how they did in Sunny with Roddy.
Well, yeah, Adrian. I mean, that's how it used to be. It was only until recently that they did stuff like have Emma Stone play Asian people. They used to get real Asian people to play those parts, you know? Like, if they want someone to be a certain thing, they usually would get that person, like someone who actually was that.
Right.
Well, even like in Glow, you know, that season of Glow that was on Netflix, they had a handful of actual wrestlers not playing themselves, obviously, because it was the 70s and 80s, right. But, you know, it's good.
But you could just as easily hire, like, you know, a big buff dude and just put Spanx on him and call him a wrestler for a movie. You don't have to go out and cast a real wrestler, is what I'm getting at. So I just find it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's easier to just get a real wrestler and then they'll know what to do.
Interesting. Okay.
Also, the Big Show is like a pretty decent actor. He's like done other movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't he do a Santa movie?
Yeah, he did. He's he's like a Santa in what was the movie with Sinbad?
Jingle All the Way.
Yeah. He was in the original, and I think he's going to be in the remake.
They're doing a remake of Jingle All the Way?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
WWE Studios made it, though.
They're doing a remake of Jumanji with, speaking of wrestlers, The Rock. And I'm like, holy shit, like, The Rock is in everything nowadays. I don't know how.
Is he playing the Robin Williams character?
There's no Robin. It's a whole. Yeah. It's completely. Concept. Yeah.
It's like video game based.
Exactly. So these characters get sucked into this video game and their avatars are like The Rock is one of them and like Kevin Hart and Jack Black and I forget who else. But I'm like, yeah. So
that's a weird disparity for avatars in video games.
I know, but that's, if you watch the trailer, that's exactly what it is.
Well, and Karen Gillan, whatever, from Doctor Who.
Oh yeah. But The Rock must have like the best agent in Hollywood because he somehow is in every other movie that comes out. I don't know how the guy.
He has a huge production company, so I think things like Jumanji, he's like the co-producer of, so that's why he gets half the roles he gets.
Oh, he has his own production company? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
$7 Productions is his company, and he's doing pretty well, man. He's making most of those movies, and like he's a box office draw.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is that they're not exactly like award-winning movies, like critically acclaimed movies, but they're just like popcorn flicks, and you know they do okay, I guess. But
I like Southland Tales. He was good in that.
I didn't see that.
But, I'd recommend it. It's a pretty good movie. It's kind of surreal.
You're trying to tell me San Andreas isn't an Academy Award-winning movie?
It's a future documentary if things keep going the way they are.
All right. Well, Andy, you mentioned off-air about having a beard, and you've kind of passively talked about hipsters and Portlandia and everything. So where do you put yourself down on this pantheon of cool people in Portland?
Oh gosh, I'm not. I like to keep afloat of things that are cool, but I used to, you know, I've had a beard since I was in high school, on and off. I've always liked music that's, you know, a little bit outside of the mainstream. I like a lot of mainstream stuff too, but I don't go out nearly enough or spend nearly enough money on my appearance to be truly hip. I think a lot of my friends would say I'm pretty hip. But I don't think most people who are actually hip would even look at me.
But what's the biggest misconception of Portland in your mind? Because when I think of Portland, I think exactly of Portlandia. You know what I mean? I think of like hipsters and stuff. But what would you say is a big misconception about Portland that people just don't know or don't get?
Portland has a really complicated history. Portland is a it's one of the liberal hotbeds that's the way the media perceives it, and is a hip young place to be, but it's extremely wild, and it's got a long history of racism, especially for the Northwest, of many different races and ethnicities, and a lot of that still exists. There's a lot of it's very segregated in a really weird way. I always recommend people who kind of ask similar things of that they check out. W. Kamau Bell did a episode of United Shades of America in his first season about Portland, and it's kind of the opposite of Portlandia, about kind of the industrial side of Portland, how fast it's growing, and how the city's always had a huge amount of people displaced and still does, because a bunch of 20-something people are flocking here, and so you have this crazy. Sorry, I'm getting political.
No. This is good. This is interesting. This is why I asked that, because
it has this huge homeless population.
Yeah.
And we try and address it, but instead of addressing it and creating affordable housing or creating new jobs that are, you know, programs to get these people off the street, we are building high rise after high rise because there's a demand for housing, and you know studio apartments now are basically they're reaching Bay Area levels and Los Angeles levels, which is historically not the case.
Wow.
At all. And you know, that's what happens when cities kind of become hotbeds.
Yeah.
But you know, everyone thinks Portland's just peachy keen. You go to the coffee shop, everyone works at a brewery, everyone
right.
slings beer, or they ride their bike to their tech job or whatever, and right. then they go hike at waterfalls, and there's certainly an aspect of that that's true, but there's a lot of pain and disgusting stuff here too.
That's really interesting to hear that, because it sounds like Denver's going through a very similar thing, especially with the homeless.
Denver's on a bigger level even.
Yeah, like the mayor like cleared out this whole section of downtown where all these homeless people were camping out and stuff, which is right outside all the homeless shelters, which happened to be in that same area, right? And then they just moved somewhere else in a different part of downtown. Now they're trying to clear them out of there, but you can't really fix the problem by getting rid of, you know, because they're just gonna go somewhere else. You know what I mean? There's got to be a better solution for it, but.
And that's kind of the hot button issue. I mean, homelessness and houselessness, and just the home market in general in Portland is really, I mean, that's on every news forum, that's on every ballot, you know, and every politician that's coming into office, that's what they're primarily addressing. Mm. It is, you know, the voting population and the majority of the population of Portland is very liberal, is very skews young, skews open-minded, you know, to open minds, but it's a very tricky thing to walk, and there's a lot of issues that are not addressed, and a lot of people of color who, you know, do not necessarily feel welcome, even though we have people who claim to be very open and welcoming.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that people always think of places like Portland or even California as like this liberal bastion, but California is actually pretty conservative. It's more Northern California. Oh, yeah. It's more liberal than. I think Southern California is a lot more conservative than people think. You know what I mean?
I would say it's more Central California that's like conservative, or like, but there are some areas of Southern California that are also kind of conservative,
like the OC.
Like obviously Orange County is ridiculous, yeah, and they're having a similar kind of homeless, while also trying to like, they're calling it the Silicon Beach. Mm-hmm. Areas of Orange County now, where more and more tech companies are moving in, but they're pushing all of the homeless into the Los Angeles River, which is like pretty cool. Pretty Jeez. Cool for them to all live there. So yeah.
When does all that come to a head, by the way? Like, there's got to be a point where the dam breaks, right? I mean, it's crazy.
Well, no, the river was cemented over years ago, so the dam. There's not going to be any problems with that.
I meant that metaphorically.
I know, I was joking.
Good one.
But yeah, I have no idea. Andy, let's fix this homeless problem. What are we doing?
Dear. I wish I had any idea.
All right, let's get into some different politics then. How about this?
Okay.
So a couple months back, 10 Barrel Brewing decided they were going to move into San Diego, even though they got purchased. They got bought out. They're not indie beer anymore. They're moving into Southern California's neck of the woods, and there was giant protests, and people were going crazy, and they were all pissed off. The 10 Barrel was trying to pretend like it's craft, fake craft. There was the 11 Barrel campaign and all this stuff, right? Then now, just like a month or two ago, Modern Times takes over the Commons.
Yep.
Modern Times from San Diego is going to be brewing their beer up in Portland. What do you guys think about that up there? Are you guys are you protesting Modern Times for essentially doing the same thing the 10 Barrel was doing? Or what do you think about that, huh?
No, I don't think there's going to be much protest other than online. One thing about Portland is while we do get politically active, we're also like we are pretty polite. we'll just stare from a distance at things.
Do you recommend people move there? I mean, real talk, because
no, fuck no.
I only asked because my wife and I have talked, like, if we were to leave Colorado.
Great stuff here.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, my wife and I have talked about it. If we were to leave Colorado, like, go back to California, go to the Pacific Northwest, and I don't know, like, I know Seattle's expensive as hell. I don't know how expensive Portland is to live, but...
Not as bad as Seattle, but it's not far off anymore.
Yeah.
Well, where are you trying to go, then?
No, well, I'm just saying, like, just keeping your options open. Oh.
I don't know. I've been all over, so... I don't know. I'm not in a rush, but I always look.
Okay. Well, I mean, what kind of career thing do you have that you're going to be able to just leave?
I'm an educator. I'm actually right now a camp director for kids. So
nice.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily easy, but you know, there's programs for kids all over the world and all over the country. And so I've been fortunate enough to do my line of work in many different states last 12 years.
That's the great thing about having a really difficult job that doesn't pay that great is that you can always find work.
Yep.
Ah, man. Okay. So let's get into the beer thing a little bit here. So what's your, what's your spots? Where are you hitting up? Are you
in Portland?
Talked about the Commons. Are you into that? Are you into? Let me think. What else is up there?
Are you an ale guy or a lager guy? Let's get this out of the way right now.
No. I want to know what places you like to hit first. Then we can get into the rest. Where's your Deschutes? Is that still cool to go to Deschutes? What's the good places in Portland?
There's a million places. I don't typically go. I won't say I don't typically, but I don't go to the breweries themselves that often, but we have so many tap houses that just feature, you know, a combination of the local breweries that's sort of a more my speed, because then I can usually bring in food or something like that as well. So, you know, one of my favorite places in Portland is Apex, which is a big tap house, one of the most renowned tap houses in Portland and kind of in the nation when they do countdowns on different things. It's just got a crazy list of beers from all over the world. And that's a great place. Cash Only, which is annoying, but it's there. I really like Bearlic Brewing in Portland, Bearlic. That's a good company. I don't know. I like a lot of different places. Okay. I used to go to Deschutes a lot more. And I actually the Deschutes Tap House is all are not Tap House, but the brewery's pretty fun to visit. And they usually have a lot of beers that they don't offer year round, or are even in bottles and cans, and are not bottle or cans, but just in bottles. But I haven't been there in a while. Well, I just had a new brewery open up that I just next door to me, basically like two blocks away, called Second Profession, which I think will probably be making some waves. There's another new brewery that popped up, because there's a new brewery popping up every month, basically, that I also think it's got a pretty good history. It's brewers from Ex Novo Brewing, Widmer Brothers, and Laurelwood, and they opened up this brewery called Level Beer, kind of on the outskirts, eastern outskirts of Portland. It's got a really cool patio and have put out some like really pretty funky IPAs in their first batch of beers. So I think, you know, they're definitely cashing in on the haze craze and yes. And doing that. Speaking of that, I mean, I like Great Notion. I don't go there very often because it's usually pretty busy, but I do like their beers. Typically, if I go to a brewery, I mean, I still like when my girlfriend and I travel outside of Portland. So if we're going to the Columbia River Gorge or the coast or something, we'll often go to one of the local breweries. So we have DeGarde in Oregon. So anytime we go to the coast, we go down to Tillamook and go to DeGarde. Have you ever had one of their beers?
No, I haven't actually.
So they're all wild fermentation brewery. Very.
Now I'm
very
thinking fun. About it. I may have had one, but I don't remember it that well. Yeah, it's like a lot of wild fermentation barrel stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really funky, interesting stuff. You know, similar to like Rare Barrel and things like that, or what's the one in Texas, Jester King?
Isn't DeGarde? Now I'm trying to think. Isn't DeGarde where the guy from Rare Barrel came from?
Maybe I don't know their history.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I'd have to double check. I might be wrong, but I think that's actually what happened there.
So I like that. Yeah, that's good stuff. I mean, I really like, if I go to Astoria, I like going to Fort George, and I think Fort George is one of our more solid breweries in the state. Especially their canned stuff is usually a pretty good go-to. Bowie Brewing out on the coast as well. Nice. Yeah, lots of good stuff.
Yeah, sounds like it. So okay, so where are you at? Like you said, you like to go to the kind of more of the tap rooms and the kind of just bars or whatever. I guess beer bars, depending on where you are, what they call them. Have you waited in line for any of the can releases? Is that even a thing in Portland? Do they?
It is. It is. Okay. And I haven't done it forever. I used to do it for Upright Brewing when they would release limited edition things.
They get their stuff out here, and I'm actually really enjoying what I've had from
them. Yeah, I haven't had any Upright in a while, so I don't know why I just haven't. I spend a lot less money on beer, and especially single bottles. I used to have, you know, my own little mini fridge and collection, and you know, cellar things and whatnot, you know, in a cupboard. But I spend a lot less money on that stuff now. So it's been a long time since I've waited for a beer. I've sent people who I know are going kind of towards the coast. If DeGarde has a limited edition thing that they're putting out that week, I've asked them to stop for me and things like that. But
okay. Nope. Okay. And what's the Portland situation like for the breweries? Because, you know, like, okay, San Diego County, you can have four places where you serve your beer if you're a brewery. So you can have like your brewery itself, and then you can have like three tap rooms. It's part of the liquor law. You can do now in all of California, you can essentially do offsite sales at any brewery. You can do growler fills as long as it's taken off. And as long as it's not improperly marked, it doesn't have to be marked, but it just can't be improperly marked. Like in Portland, do they do growlers? Do they do
We do
multiple
growlers.
Locations for one liquor license, or do you have to get a separate liquor? Like, is it tough to get liquor licensing in Portland, or is it pretty easy?
I have no idea, honestly. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine it's that hard because we have so many. I mean, you can get anything anywhere, it seems like. So I know that we have like a lot of, I don't know. I don't know the licensing side of it.
Yeah, fine.
But I mean, we definitely do growlers. That's a huge thing. I mean, you can get a lot of the breweries and tap houses will only allow growlers on certain, you know, things that they're pouring. But they it's definitely pretty popular. And I will say one of my, just in the case that you have anyone from the Portland area listening, my favorite spot, and it's a friend of mine owns this place, is actually in a city called Oregon City, and it's called the Growler Station. And a buddy of mine owns this spot, and that's where I spent a lot of my time drinking in the like 4 years. But I don't live very close to it anymore, so I don't go there very often. But nice little suburban strip mall spot, and I highly recommend it because he always has a really good selection and fair prices.
And okay, so that's a, like, what exactly is that then? Because
it's just it's just a tap. He's got 30 taps, and people, it's a bar. You can bring in food and whatnot, and some people go in there just to fill up growlers and leave. Some people go in there and hang out and drink from whatever, you know 20 brewers he has on tap, or you know, anything like that.
And so
he's not
private...
brewing anything himself. Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because California, you can't do that.
Oh,
you
really?
Can't sell growlers of beer that you didn't make on site.
Oh, no, definitely not. Okay, that's definitely not the case in Oregon, because we have, I mean, you can go to a mini mart and fill up a growler here. You can go to the grocery store
okay.
and fill up a growler here.
Yeah, because I've seen stuff like that on the East Coast, and I've always thought that's super cool that you have, like, essentially, like, liquor stores that you're able to get growler fills at, which is super cool. I would like.
I mean, we have, in the Portland way, we have light carts and food carts essentially that will pour beer. So
nice.
They have to get a license for like the facility that they're, or like if they're going to a park or an event, like they have to get that license, but they can take, you can pour stuff there too. So
yeah, they they're passing like California just recently passed like that you're allowed to have those petty bikes that mm-hmm. serve beer. So like, yeah, our liquor laws are kind of tight in some ways. They're like a little bit ridiculous in some ways, honestly. But
in Oregon, I mean, one of the main differences, because when I used to live in California, is you can't sell liquor in grocery stores or in multi-use stores. So or you have to have a separate thing. So a beer license is different from a liquor and wine license. So I think you have to have two. Are a liquor license at least. So like if you're serving liquor, you have to have a different license than just serve beer and for selling as well. So you can only buy liquor in actual liquor stores in Oregon.
Okay. Huh. Interesting. So now I'm like trying to find this place. Growler's Tap Station in, where did you say it was?
Did I say the Growler Station? The Growler Run is what it's called. Like chicken.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. I saw that one. I'm looking for it. I'm going to go find this place. Damn it. next time I'm up there, I'm going to go.
It's way off the path from Portland if you're in town. But if you ever came, I would take you out there and many
nice,
other places.
Nice. Fantastic. Well, Adrian, do you have any questions you want to ask? I know that you were wanting to see what kind of beers Andy was into.
Yeah, so
anything you want to ask before we...
Ales guy or lager guy? What's your...
I don't like to be defined. I will drink anything. Really.
Fine. What's your go-to beer? What's your like your daily driver?
An actual beer or like style?
An actual beer.
My favorite beer that I buy the most often, like to have in my house, is the Bowie Pilsner.
The
Bowie Brewing
Pilsner.
Yeah, Bowie, like that would float in the ocean. A Bowie.
Oh, okay, so see, so that, yeah, that falls under that falls under lagers.
Drinker.
So it's interesting.
What's that?
That would fall under the lager category. So it's interesting that that's
yeah.
your.
But if I go to a bar, but that's at my house. If I go to the bar, I'm usually getting. I mean, Portland's pretty known for just like San Diego, I guess, is known for pretty solid IPAs, and so I typically will get an IPA to start or something like that.
Okay.
Or something funky.
So you mentioned that you lived in California. Where did you live?
I lived in Oakland and in Alameda.
Oh yeah, you said that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
So the brewing situation there has drastically changed since
yeah.
and increased since I left. Because I left in 2012 and it was still pretty solid there. But there's been a lot of renowned breweries pop up in Berkeley and Oakland and whatnot since I left.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of exciting stuff, which I'm getting excited to go to here in a couple
mm-hmm.
days. We'll have to. I'll have to share some more stories about that on the podcast when I come back. I don't even know what else there is to talk about at this point. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, honestly. But
anything you want.
But I'm like, I think it's time to. I think it's Adrian. Do you think it's time for the final break? And then when we come back, the final question.
Yeah, I mean, let's do it.
It feels like it, right?
Yeah, it definitely feels like it. Yes.
Yeah. All right, Andy. I mean. We're going to go to our final break. We're going to ask the final question. There's still a lot to talk about, but we have to call it quits at some point. We can't just go all night. So we'll take one more break. We'll be back, and we're going to ask the final question.
Please. Place Simi Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaySimiNation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, an NWA Classics On Demand adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows plus others available on PlaySimiNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaySimiNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaySimiNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Tim, we're back, and I think you know what time it is, Tim. It's time for the final question.
I missed it. I don't think we did the final question like that last week. Maybe it was the week before.
No,
we
you know what?
The effects.
Yeah. What? We didn't do it. You didn't. Yeah.
We missed 2 weeks, honestly, of final question.
Yeah, I was a little rusty there. I had to figure out which knob it was and all that. But anyway.
Yeah, you got to twist and turn the knobs. So, Andy.
Uh huh.
You're no spring chicken. No, wait. That's not right. You're a young man. You're spry. You're young. But
not
you're
very
no,
spry anymore.
You're no novice. You know exactly where this was going. You understood when you signed up for this where this road was going to take you. So it's time for the final question. What's something who only knows you from the podcast Fighting Network Friends, or from maybe the articles that you've written on Voices of Wrestling? What's something about you, your history, your life, something that if they found out about you, they might find shocking?
Shocking. When I hear that, shocking is maybe a bit of a surprise word, because I'm like, oh, that makes me skew negative. But I don't really have anything that I would deem shocking, I guess. One thing that I think is unique about me, and I could be wrong, but I find that I alluded to kind of my career already and where it's been. I've had a lot of jobs, but one thing that I find myself and my buddy Brennan, who I've talked about a bunch, a way that we're different from a lot of folks that we find in kind of the wrestling circle is we are in fields that are not typical, I guess, of the people that we hear, at least on podcasts, or that kind of talk in these wrestling circles, and that he's an archaeologist, and my background is in environmental education. So we're both very outdoors people who then spend a lot of time inside watching wrestling. My outdoors, I've been a licensed naturalist for the Audubon Society, which I used to do in New Hampshire. I've been a program director for environmental education centers in upstate New York and in San Francisco Bay. I've worked out in politics as far as environmental politics in the Bay Area, introducing legislature to ban some certain substances like plastic bags or straws in specific cities due to their polluting nature.
You son of a bitch. You're the reason why I have to pay 10 cents per bag, aren't you?
Well, that's not that. Ours was only on a city level. So it's a city by city ordinance, as far as I know, but unless they've introduced statewide things. So there's that stuff. And one of my, a story that I think is interesting because I'm in terrible shape now, and I feel like I've talked about that on podcasts. But when I was in New York, I used to be like a mountain guide, basically, in the Adirondack Mountains. And that was I was actually still watching wrestling at that time, but on DVDs that I would find at Walmart. that's just something that I think is kind of unique about me, something that you wouldn't necessarily get across as I talk about my time in Portland or my time with watching Japanese wrestling, and that I used to take kids basically up into the High Peaks ranges in New York. And I've had some scary moments there. I've had kids develop not frostbite, but kind of the onset stages of that in peak weather when we've had with wind chill negative 144 degrees. Which is not a real temperature if you think about it, but it was. It's just that's something that I find to be, I like to, it's a part of my life that I miss and wish that I was a more part of my life. But you can ask me about that if you want.
About me missing that part of your life?
Well, just like the outdoors, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe we should. I feel like I'm missing the same. So, okay, I'm like in my early 30s. I just turned 30 a couple of years ago. And one thing that I've like kind of lamented is I do miss the, not outdoorsy for me, but sports. I played soccer for a long time as like, essentially from when I was like, I don't know, 7 or 8 until I was like 13 or no, actually older, until I was like 15 to 16. And like recently I thought about it and I was like, God, I really kind of miss that and that whole thing. So I totally get where you're coming from, missing the kind of that activity and that outdoorsy part of life. Maybe I need to step out and do that. Maybe that's what I need to ask you was, hey, we need to figure out a way to do this together. Let's hold each other accountable. Let's be, I guess, outdoors buddies, right? Even if we're miles apart.
Yeah, I definitely played a lot of sports growing up too. Maybe that's kind of how I transitioned into loving being outside. It's just a interesting thing that, you know, my main passion, I would say, like, as far as the world is concerned, is the environment and the outdoors. And then my main hobby, as far as my life's concerned, requires me to be inside in front of a computer. It's just, right. You know, it's one of those things.
Well, do you go to wrestling shows at all?
Not too often. We have only a few promotions in Portland and, none of great. We have one that I like a little bit more than the others. And I go once every few months. They only run monthly, so I don't go to every show, but every few months I go.
Okay, and I think I'm getting confused because I was thinking a 3-2-1 battle, but that's in Washington. That's in Seattle.
That's up in Olympia, I think, or Seattle, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fucking show, man. It's too far.
Yeah, they're fun. I watched that Steve Thatcher match from earlier in the year.
Yeah.
There. And I went to the first couple of Defy shows up in Seattle, but you know, it wasn't worth the drive for me after that. Mm. So, and I know they're kind of making waves, but a lot of the guys who work the undercard in Defy work the really small indies here in Portland. So, wasn't really worth me driving up there anymore, even to see, you know, Shane Strickland and whatnot.
Yeah, no, I can see that. All right, well, Adrian, is there anything that we need to get to before we go, or anything you want to ask, I guess?
No, not really, but you mentioned you lived in New Hampshire. How long were you there? Mm-hmm. Really quick.
How long was I there?
Yeah, how long did you live in New Hampshire?
I worked for 2 summers for a camp in New Hampshire, and during the school year in between, I worked and lived in upstate New York. So it was really western New Hampshire, kind of western New Hampshire and Massachusetts. So it's just a small Audubon area, and I worked there as a nature director, basically.
Okay, cool. I only asked because I was in Connecticut for work the other day. It was my first time in the East Coast, and it was amazing. Like, it really... I thought Colorado like really shows its true fall colors, but man, like in Connecticut, I was in like the New Haven, Hartford area, and it was amazing. Like something out of a movie, and all the trees and the orange and the yellow and the red leaves and stuff, you know.
Yep,
so I imagine a lot of New England looks like
exaggerate.
That. What's that?
people don't exaggerate the fall foliage over there. It really is a spectacle.
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, I don't know if I could ever live in the East Coast, but it was nice to visit for sure. So.
If I was in a different career currently, I would think about living in Vermont. I really love Vermont, but as an outdoor educator, that means you have to teach outside for 4 months in the snow.
Yeah, I was going to say, the snow must be crazy in that part of the country.
It is. It's really crazy.
Damn.
I want to teach. Okay, I want to teach outside in the snow. I've changed my mind.
No, you don't, Tim.
And then you're just cold and wet all the time, and it's awful. Yeah.
I like it super cold, and I mean.
Do you like it cold?
I guess I don't like being damp, though.
You're in L.A. Cold for you is like 65 degrees.
No, I like it really, really cold. I like it like freezing cold. But yeah, I know that I don't
live
in a place that's cold, Adrian.
All right, no, that's all I had. That's all I had. You didn't ask the midpoint question, by the way. You have a midpoint question.
Oh, I forgot the middle question. You're right.
Please, we went right to the final question.
What was the midpoint question?
The middle question is, are you allergic to anything? Oh. I mean, he works outside. He can't be allergic to things.
That's true.
I'm not allergic to anything. No.
See,
any
that's why I didn't ask.
Allergies. Nope, I'm very fortunate.
It would have been very...
Okay, see, that's, Adrian, that's the thing, is that me and Andy are on the same level here.
Oh, okay.
We're on the same wavelength, and I knew that there was no reason for me to ask because he's not allergic to anything.
No, that makes sense.
In fact, Adrian, you should watch yourself because I think Andy's going to creep up and take your spot.
Why is that? Why is that?
Well, primarily because I don't like you, but also because I like Andy. all right. Andy, is there anything you want to plug?
Don't threaten me with a good time.
The things to plug, just my show again. You've already introduced it, and I'm sure you will in the description and whatnot. But Fighting Network Friends, you can search that on Apple Podcasts or Google. It's just a podcast that my buddy Brennan and I do about shoot-style wrestling. Each episode's got a different theme, and... has some cool music attached to it. And we create YouTube playlists to watch along with as we talk about some kind of lesser known matches, I guess, on the whole. Unless they get taken down, like our Rings matches were. We don't like to upload things, but we had to. And they got taken down. So Fighting Network Friends. And then I recently wrote a few different in-depth pieces about the War Games for Voices of Wrestling, as they kind of did a Voices of War Games week over there. And I wrote about the 1994 WCW War Games, as well as the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Rage in the Cage matches and an FMW War Games style match. And I was pretty proud of those pieces, so you should go check those out.
I highly recommend those pieces because I really enjoyed those War Games articles, because I was actually linked to them in the old, now defunct Wrestling with Words Slack chat. Mm-hmm. I was told by a... by, let's say, a curmudgeonly shorter fellow who's been a guest of this podcast before. He was really into them, so then I took the time to go and check them out, and they were awesome. So definitely highly recommend that to everybody. Check that stuff out. Otherwise, Adrian, you got anything you want to plug before we go?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Dillaboots, and follow us at Lucha Undead. Of course, check out Top Beer, which comes out every other week. And we are both on Untappd at Dillaboots and Lucha Undead. So... you can keep up with the latest and greatest of brews that we're drinking. Oh, really quick, are you on Untappd, Andy?
I am. I am on Untappd, although I haven't been cataloging that much in the recent months. But I am on Untappd at OhHeyLook, OhHeyLook.
Okay, I'll have to follow you because, I've been trying to keep up with everything I'm drinking, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's always
sometimes
fun.
I just forget. I used to be very vigilant about it, but I definitely have let that lapse in the past 6 months.
Yeah, my girlfriend would laugh. My wife would laugh at me because, I as soon as I get a beer in my hand, I have to like pull out my phone, and check in and all that.
Yep.
You know how it is.
If I go somewhere cool where I want to show off, I definitely do that.
Yeah. That's it for me, Tim.
Well, that's it. That's everything. Follow me on Twitter at Lucha Undead. Follow me on Untappd, also on Lucha Undead. Follow me on Instagram at Lucha Undead. Kind of. I'm transitioning. I'm still using the eTarget to set up my. Beer stuff, but I'll be transitioning full time over to the Lucha Undead Instagram very shortly.
That's right, we have an Instagram. I forgot.
We do, and again because someone found the password. So good job on that. Cheers all around. Drinking this Mumford Brewery. It was a hazy IPA that's like separated weirdly. Mumford's canned beers I've been separating. Their beers are really good when they're super fresh, but I'm liking it because it's like kind of spicy now. The yeast is like giving it a nice spiciness. I'm not gonna like it when I wake up in the middle of the night with like a really massive heartburn, but I am enjoying it right now as I drink it. But with that said, as always, it's very important that you all understand that here at Lucha Undead, here at even Get to Know Podcast Incorporated, we only care about the three most important things in life, and those three things are the three B's. Tonight, those three B's are good beers, good brush, as you're clearing out the nature in the brush up there, teaching people outside, and good boudoirs, where you hang out with strippers as you sing karaoke. Right. Good night, everybody.
Awesome.